Let's have our Bibles open. It's a long passage and not all everything will be appearing on the screen, so let's have that before us. Page 1074 of the Church Bibles, John 8:31, following on from where we left off last week. John 8:31 to the end of the chapter. There's a film called Breaking and Entering, and it deals with themes of unfaithfulness and forgiveness and reconciliation. Now, the character played by Jude Law there lives with his partner and her autistic daughter, Bea. And that makes family life pretty tough for them. It's quite a stormy place to be in, that family, that home. To cut a very long and complicated story short, he is unfaithful to his partner. He has an affair with somebody else. But he faces up to his guilt. And as he confesses to his partner, this is what he says. He says this: I see you and B as a circle, and I am not included in the circle. But saying that is just a way of excusing the fact that there is a part of me that is so dark that I see that circle as a cage. Last week we read at the end of the passage that as Jesus talked, even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Verse 30. And now Jesus goes on to address those people. To the Jews who had believed in him, it says, verse 31, Jesus said. So that's the context. He's talking to people who seem to have put their trust in him. But that's strange, because as the passage unfolds, as Stuart read earlier, we find that actually, as he talks, they are not at all responsive to what he's saying. They don't like what he's saying. They react against it. So what's happening? Have they put their faith in him or have they not? Well, already in John's Gospel, we've seen people who have started to follow Jesus only to melt away once they've found his teaching too hard. We saw that at the end of chapter 6, if you remember. It's the rocky soil syndrome of the parable of the sower. You remember the parable of the sower? And some seed falls on rocky soil and they seem to receive... People seem to receive the word of God with joy and spring up, but then hard times come and they shrink away and shrivel. It seems to be what is happening here. I don't think it means that everyone who put their faith in him or seemed to put their faith in him responded in this way. But certainly a lot of people, once they heard more of what Jesus was saying, responded negatively after having initially responded positively. It presents us with a question, doesn't it? How do we know when faith is genuine? How do we know if our faith is genuine? Or are we going to be of these people who drift away? Well, Jesus himself answers that, actually. He says this. In verse 31 and 32, he says, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you hold to my teaching, then you are really my disciples. I don't think Jesus there means just believing what he teaches. The word to hold there is the word to remain in his teaching, to hold on to it and do it, to put it into practice. Genuine faith perseveres in following Jesus. That's his point. Genuine faith perseveres in following Jesus. It perseveres in putting into practice what Jesus teaches. Being a Christian is not just about making a decision once in your life, praying a prayer, and then you're in. It is about a settled determination to follow Jesus. And we see in this passage three things we're going to look at. First of all, we see these amazing words of Jesus: the truth sets us free. And as he goes on, we see that it is sin that enslaved. The truth sets us free. That is an amazing statement. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Of course, we think exactly the opposite, don't we? Naturally, we think the opposite. The reason we don't naturally like to listen to God and we want to go our own way rather than his is because we want to be free. We don't want someone up there dictating how we should live and how we should behave. We should be free to live as we choose, as we see fit. That's what we feel. But the truth is, actually, that such behavior, living as we see fit, that is not freedom at all. It just leads to slavery. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Because if we go our own way, if we ignore God and go our own way in our lives, all that happens is that our lives are dictated not even by what we see as the highest goals in our lives, but they become dictated by our own selfishness, our own weaknesses. Rather than being free to do exactly what we're like, we're only free to do what our sinful, selfish nature dictates. That's the sad reality. And that those kind of things are the kind of behavior that spoils life, makes life so hard and difficult, and spoils life for other people too, rather than enhances it. You know, if somebody jumps out of a plane with a parachute, as they're plunging through the air, they can think, hey, I'm free. This is wonderful. I've got no constraints. I am free to do whatever I like. Look, I can wave my arms and legs. I am free. They're free from the narrow confines of that plane. They can go wherever they like. But the truth is, actually, they're slaves to gravity. They can't do anything about that inevitable pull towards destruction. Now, we might think of a relationship with God as being narrow and confined, a bit like being in the plane, if you like. But when we jump out of that, as the human race has done, far from being free, we're just destined to follow the gravitational pull of sin and our sinful nature, all the way down to our destruction. To think we're free is just like pretending that the law of gravity doesn't exist. And we see this, don't we? We see this so clearly in the lives of people with clear addictions. We see them struggling with these. The drug addict who can say, I don't need it. I can give it up any time I like. Just walk away from it. We know that's not true. It's true with any addiction, isn't it? You know, the truth is we're all addicts. We're all addicted to sin. My name is Graham, and I'm a sinaholic. It's true. And it's true of you, too. We so easily allow ourselves to become slaves to all kind of unhelpful and dangerous behavior. Lust, bitterness, greed. We just want more and more. And when we get more, and we're in a society that just thinks we have to get more and more, and does getting more and more satisfy us? Of course it doesn't. It just leaves us wanting more and more yet. Greed, bitterness, rage. Some people are addicted to rage. The only way they can express themselves is through rage. And when we see often we're not even aware of these things, but often too, we know if we are honest, we cannot live up to the kind of lives that we know we should be living. We're addicted to these things. We're all addicted to sin, one way or another. Your addictions will be different to mine. Your particular weakness in terms of sin is different to mine, but it enslaves us one way or another, and it is the opposite of freedom. True freedom is not actually being able to do whatever you want to do. That is anarchy. Freedom is being able to do what we are made for, to fulfill our true... Shall I say that again? True freedom is not being able to do whatever you want to do. That is just anarchy. Freedom is being able to do what we were made for, to fulfill our true purpose. And that is what God's truth sets us free to do. That is why what Jesus is saying is such good news. Being called slaves offends Jesus here, is verse 33. They get very upset about that. We're Abraham's descendants. How dare you call us slaves? They pride themselves on being children of Abraham, God's own people. And Jesus goes on to say to them, now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. The image here is of two children growing up in a wealthy household. One is the son of a slave born into slavery. Now Jesus isn't condoning slavery. It's just an illustration from the life around him at the time. But the son of a slave born into slavery, when that person reaches adulthood, he may well be sold somewhere else as a slave. The other child is the son of the master. He's not a slave. He belongs there. He belongs there forever. Now, Jesus claims to be the Son. Jesus claims to be the Son of God, no less. And the ultimate sin that enslaves us, this is what Jesus is driving at. The ultimate sin that stops us being set free is the sin of rejecting the Son. You see, we are all sinners. We're all born into slavery, into sin. And the only way out is for the Son to set us free. But if we don't recognize the Son for who he is, then we cannot be set free. And here's the crunch point for his hearers then. Are they going to accept him or reject him? Are they going to recognize him for who he is or not? He goes on to say, I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you're ready to kill me. Because you've no room for my word. I am telling you what I've seen in the Father's presence. And you do what you have heard from your father. Their response shows who their true father is. We'll go on to that in a minute. But the truth sets us free. That is a glorious statement. The truth sets us free. You know, if you've not been feeling well for a time, and if you're a man, you try and forget about, well, you don't forget about it. You moan about it to your wife. But when she suggests you go to the doctor, you, be all right, be fine. But if you do not go to the doctor, there is no hope of whatever it is being sorted out, being brought to light and being dealt with, isn't it? It's only when we go to the doctor can be honest with us and tell us the truth. I'm telling you as it is. We don't want to hear it. But they tell us as it is, and we face up to it, we get treatment, and we can be cured. It's an amazing thing. But it involves us being facing up to the truth. So it is with us. It is only as we stand in the light of God's truth, the light of the world, do you remember from last week? And we see ourselves as we really are, that we can be healed, made whole, and set free. Which is the promise that Jesus is holding out for us. The truth will set you free. So the truth sets us free. Sin enslaves. The second thing we see in this passage, like father, like son. And that poses a question. Whose likeness are we growing into? Verses 39 to 41. These people are so proud of their ancestry. They're Jews. Abraham is their father. They think that gives them the privileges, the sole privileges of all God's or that they have from God. But the question is, are they going to rely on their physical descent for their standing with God, or are they going to realize that it is only through Jesus, the Son, that they can come to God? Jesus says to them, as it is, you are determined to kill me. A man, if you were Abraham's children, says Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me. A man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. There should be a few speech marks missing there. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Do you see, Jesus is saying, hold on, if you behave like that, it shows who your true father is. And it doesn't seem to be the God whom you claim to worship. No wonder they're shocked at that. And he goes on. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. And then even further, he says, you belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. You know, it's fascinating to watch a child grow up. And you can spot different aspects of the character of their parents and the likeness of their parents coming out as they grow up. It's fascinating, isn't it? In Jesus' culture, this idea of like father, like son was much stronger because they had the sense, the expectation that a son would go into the father's business. So Jesus grew up learning carpentry from Joseph and so on. Like father, like son. And this is what Jesus is getting at here. He's saying, these people who are proud of their spiritual heritage, that the way they behave belies who their true father is. They don't like the truth because their father is the father of lies. He means the devil. devil is a liar and a murderer. He lied in the Garden of Eden. He lied in a way which tempted Adam and Eve to choose the way that led to death. He is a murderer. And he has been lying ever since. And he stands in stark contrast to the truth that Jesus brings. The truth sets us free. Lies enslave us. We're surrounded by lies in so many ways, aren't we? We're bombarded by adverts of one kind or another constantly. Wherever you go, you cannot get away from these advertisers trying to sell us stuff we don't need. And what they are doing, very cleverly, because this is the cream of our creative talent, is working in the advertising agency. What they are doing very cleverly is that they do not sell us products. They sell us aspirations. They take their product and they put it in the context of a lifestyle. And we think, that's what I want to be like. We don't say that out loud. We don't think we're taken in by it at all. But that's how we think. Subconsciously, we think, I want to be like that. And so somehow the link is made and we somehow think, if I get hold of that, I'm going to be more like that. It's a lie, isn't it? Buying stuff doesn't make us a certain person. Doesn't change who we are. Getting stuff doesn't change who we are. Dressing in a certain way doesn't change who we are. It is a lie that we fall for again and again. It is lies that can, like that, that enslave us. By creating a certain lifestyle, a certain mood, and we think that by buying that or getting that, we'll get the lifestyle. We deny it, but it works subtly. Celebrity culture feeds on the lie too, doesn't it? We gaze at the celebs. As we gaze at them, we feel that our lives are somehow lifted out of the humdrum, because in some way we're sort of basking in their reflected glory. It's a lie. The lie that says that having more means a more fulfilled life. It is a lie. And, you know, we're surrounded by these things. We can't avoid them. But let's at least look them in the eye and give them a name. Let's say it as it is. It's good when you're watching adverts on the telly to rant at the telly a bit. That is a lie. That's not true. Do it in the cinema as well if you're bold enough. It's a lie. It's not true. Anyway, enough of that. Right, okay. But these lies enslave us. More generally, we are bombarded by the lie that God doesn't really exist, that he didn't make us for a purpose, and that we are not accountable to him. That's all very convenient for us. It's a convenient lie because it gets us off the hook of having to take him seriously. You know, people say often that Christianity is a crutch for those who cannot cope with the reality of life. Well, there's different ways of responding to that. Boy, I need that crutch, is one of the ways. But I say, actually, that atheism is a crutch for those who cannot cope with the reality of God. But it's a lie that he doesn't exist. And it's a lie that enslaves us, because the truth is far, far better. That we are not just randomly here. You know, we've not just kind of pulled ourselves up from some primeval swamp somewhere and wondering what on earth it's all about. And this is as good as it's got so far. So actually, rather than moaning about the world, we should be sitting around thinking, hey, we've done pretty well for ourselves considering where we've come from. Nobody thinks like that. We all think, what is the world like it is? It's because the world should be better and was created to be better, was made to be better, and we were made to be better. And we know it. Because we were made by someone who knows us and loves us and has a purpose for us. The purpose of glorifying him and loving him and serving him, and in so doing bring good and justice and righteousness into this world that he made. Bringing his good values to bear. That is a glorious purpose. And grasping the truth sets us free to fulfill the reason for which we were made. The lie of atheism seems so attractive because it means that we can set our own parameters. We can decide how to live. But actually, it just leaves us hollow and empty and purposeless. But the challenge here for us, back to the passage, the challenge for us here really is, whose likeness are we growing into? You see, by denying the truth, by flinching away from the light, and by taking refuge in the pride of their parentage, these people, they were simply consigning themselves to growing into the likeness of the father of lies. Now, the truth is, as I've said, we're all born into that slavery to sin. But there is another possibility. It doesn't have to be like that. Jesus, the Son, comes into the world and offers us the opportunity of adoption, of being adopted as God's sons, God's children. And by embracing the Son, that's what happens. We become united to the Son, and so we too become sons of God, children of God. Not because we deserve it, not because we're naturally like God. We don't bear, you know, we're not naturally like God. That image, the image of God is in us, but it's been twisted. But just because God loves us. Just because God wants us as his children, even though we've been disobedient and rebellious. You know, this is amazing grace. Adopted as God's children. And as we are adopted as his children, you see, we are set free from slavery to sin. Because now we are free to grow up into the likeness of the Father who is good and just and perfect and loving and merciful, rather than the father of lies. Now, this doesn't happen automatically when you become a Christian. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't mean that once we commit our lives to Jesus, we suddenly become perfect and sin-free. I don't need to tell you that, do I? Just need to have a look at the person next to you. In God's eyes, amazingly, when we do that, when we put our trust in Jesus, we are no longer condemned. The penalty of our sin is dealt with. But we do still have to fight against that sinful nature pulling us down. But we have something else as well, something stronger to go alongside that. You see, when Jesus died on the cross and rose to new life, he killed the grip that sin has over us. And he created a new life, a new humanity, a new principle planted right into the heart of the human race, so that we need be slaves to sin no longer. We can say no to what we know is wrong because of God's power in us. As sons of God, we are now free to grow into the likeness of God, to be transformed into the image of his Son, Jesus. So the truth sets us free. The truth sets us free first by telling it as it is, and then by transforming us into the people God made us to be all along. It's a process. It doesn't happen automatically to the believer. It happens as we walk step by step with the Lord, as we pray, as we feed on God's word, as we put it into practice, as we respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, at any point, we can stop doing those things. And when we stop, then God's work of transformation stops in us too. But then, that is our choice. It's not because we're slaves to sin. It's because we've chosen to go the way of sin and not listening to God instead. It's not what sin dictates. We're putting ourselves under the thrall of sin when we need not. You see, now, the only power the devil has over us is that of lying to us. The only power the devil has is telling us, well, God tells you this, but that's not true. God tells you that living in a certain way will be far better. That's not true. You know it'd be better if you don't learn to control your temper. You know it'd be better if you don't kick your habit of internet porn, or whatever it might be. You know, these are nice things to have in your life. They're lies of the devil. But they are lies. He has no power over us other than lies if we are in Jesus, if we're committed to him. And when we believe the devil's lies, we stop growing. We stagnate. We slip into sin. And when we remind ourselves of the truth and act on the truth, then we grow in the Father's likeness. The truth sets us free. That is amazing. Hallelujah. Quickly, on to the third point then. The truth that sets us free. What is the truth that sets us free? Well, ultimately, it is not a proposition. It is not a thing to believe. It is a person. Now, the tension of the discussion escalates here with Jesus. We haven't got time to look in detail. The Jews accuse Jesus of being a demon-possessed Samaritan. In other words, not a true son of Abraham at all, like themselves. We haven't got time, as I say, to look into the details, but it leads up to this seminal statement of Jesus that Stuart has already drawn our attention to. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. Abraham lived thousands of years before. How could he have seen Jesus' day? This is what's confusing them. You're not yet 50 years old, they said to him. Sorry, I still lost the speech marks there. You have seen Abraham? They're doubting him. How can you say you've seen Abraham? You're not 50. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered, before Abraham was, I am. It's an amazing statement. And let's make no mistake about this. Jesus is here taking on his own lips that great title that God himself revealed to Moses. Way back in Exodus, God said to Moses in the burning bush, I am who I am. This is what you are saying to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. And that was the basis of the name that was written in the Old Testament, Yahweh. It's built around the verb, I am. And Jesus is claiming very clearly here, he's not just sent from God. He's not merely just the Son of God in some derivative, subordinate sense. He is the Lord himself. He is God. That's what he's claiming. That's why they picked up stones to kill him. They knew full well what he was claiming. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, no, you misunderstood me. I'm not God. I'm not saying I'm not God. I'm not saying I'm God. He doesn't say that. That's exactly what he is saying. And they know it. This was complete and utter blasphemy. They understood it as such. Unless, of course, it happens to be true. But it was too much for them. They reject the truth, they reject the Son, they reject the Lord himself. And in so doing, all they are left with is slavery, lies, and the father of lies. The truth sets us free. Now, there are certain things, certain truths about Jesus that we have to accept in order to be set free by him, in order to follow him. We have to accept that he is indeed the Lord, God. That is one of the truths that we have to accept. You cannot be a Christian and deny that Jesus is God. Some people have tried. It really does have no consistency. A believer is someone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ as God. And in order to be set free by the truth, we have to believe that not only are we slaves to sin, but that God in Jesus' death and resurrection has made it possible for that sin to be dealt with. It's the very process by which we are set free. We trust in what Jesus has done on the cross for us. We believe it. We have to believe that Jesus is not now dead in the tomb, but that he is alive. If we don't believe that, then there is no resurrection power for us to be transformed. Make us into the people God made us. That would be a fiction if Jesus was dead. So these are truths to be believed. And believing these propositional truths, if you like, that is important. But being a Christian is far more than just ticking these truths that you believe. Jesus said in verse 32 that the truth shall set us free. The ultimate truth that these people are denying is the true identity of Jesus, that he is the Lord God. I am. And in verse 36, Jesus says, if the Son sets you free. You see, Jesus does not just come and tell us about the truth. He is the truth. The truth is not a set of propositions. It is a person. It is Jesus himself. The truth about who we are, the truth about who God is. You know, we only see those truths fully when we see Jesus, who is God come down to us where we are. The Son shows us the truth most clearly, the truth about how in Jesus God has found a way of releasing the bonds of sin and enabling us to be transformed into the people we were made to be. And it is when we walk with him, when we walk hand in hand with him, following him, that we are set free. The truth sets us free. It is a relationship with a person. This person that loves, that knows and honors the Father. The person who is the Lord of life himself. The truth. The one who made us and knows exactly what we were made for. And who alone has power to give us new life in order to live like it. That is the truth by which we can live and be transformed and be truly set free. Well, all this brings us back to Jude Law. There is a part of me that is so dark that I see that sees that circle as a cage. Friends, there is a large part of each one of us that sees relationship with God the Father and his Son Jesus as a cage. Something that traps us, that restricts us. We think it will limit us, whereas it is the one thing that sets us free. Relationships define us as a person. I think this is something that the film is getting at. Relationships are not a cage. Relationships are not chains. They define us as people. We are defined by our relationships. That's what to be a person means. Ultimately, the relationship that defines us ultimately is the relationship with the person who made us. It's not a cage. Outside of that circle, we are just destined to become trapped in other cages. The truth shall set you free. Maybe you're believing the devil's lie that relationship with Jesus means living in a cage. Maybe you're fighting against that. The Lord is prompting you to think otherwise and you're fighting against it. At some point or other, you've got to trust his words. You've got to say, yes, I believe God and his word on this. Or you can't continue living in your own cages. Or perhaps, you know, you hear this statement, the truth shall set you free, and you're a believer, but you look at your life and you think, well, why is it that I can't get free then? There are so many things that I see men slave to. Why is that? Perhaps there's something particular in your life that you know shouldn't be there, but you cannot seem to deal with it. The truth shall set you free, says Jesus. You have to bring that to him. You have to believe that that thing need not have power over you, and that God's power in you can break it if you follow his way. It's not easy, but it is a real possibility in Jesus to be set free from what used to be called our besetting sins, our habitual sins, the things that trip us up again and again and again. Maybe you need to come and pray with someone about whatever it is, then feel free to do that. At the end, come and see me or Richard or Roy or Graham or someone else that you trust and pray with us about that. Maybe you just need to find time on your own to see the Lord, to seek the Lord on your own, just to allow his truth, to remind yourself of his truth and act on it. Or maybe you have just stopped moving forward in this relationship with the truth, the person, Jesus. And so that process of growing into his likeness is not happening really in your life at the moment. Friend, do you really want to drift back into slavery to sin? There's no way to live. Let's not believe that dark part of us that tells us it's a cage. Let us trust his word. The truth will set us free. And let us keep moving forward with him. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus. There's a lot of these passages that we don't understand, a lot that we feel that we kind of almost get there and then it slips away from our understanding. We pray for your Holy Spirit to help us to understand what Jesus is saying. But Father, this is very clear to us this morning. Jesus comes, he speaks truth, he is the truth, and the truth sets us free. And so I pray that there will be no one here who remains in the slaves, in the chains of sin, lies, the devil, keeping us away from living how we were made, created to live. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we pray that as we gaze on him, as we walk with him, as we follow him, you will transform us into his likeness. Because we want to give you glory and we want to bring your kingdom to bear in this world and to see it grow into eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.